Happy Friday, 205 DGS. Big plans for the weekend?
Relaxing.
Going to a Pokemon tournament tomorrow.
Get out.
So I'm throwing it down.
This is different than Magic the Gathering, right?
It is. Two different card games.
Yeah, which were you better at?
You know what? I was actually better at Magic, but my wife and I have been having a lot of fun with the other one, so we're going to stick with that for...
Is she competing as well?
She is.
Oh, that's like a movie.
Well, you know, it's very funny. We go to this place that we go to ostensibly to meet new people, try and make new friends, branch out a little
Swingers.
Bit. And we always, you know, and then we always end up getting matched together. So we always have to like
play
against each other.
Do you take it easy?
No. Mm-mm.
Good man.
She's good though. She's getting a lot better. She's getting pretty scary with this one strategy that she's been rolling
mm-hmm.
with.
The Megan strategy?
So Megan's very interesting. She's a very sweet girl, but when she plays games, whether it's like these kind of strategy card games or their board games or whatever, she has having the most fun if you're not having fun.
I relate.
She wants to make sure her opponent, like she wants to win by making it so that her opponents can't do anything.
Yeah.
And I just...
Like if she was winning and you were having a good time losing, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that about her, and I'm not sure she knew it about herself until we started playing these games together, and she's like...
I could tell from the beginning.
Yeah. Like, she's like, the most important thing to me is that the other person is miserable. That makes me have more fun. And I'm like, that is so toxic.
It is.
It brings out a side of her that I've never seen before.
Speaking of
I like it, though.
Competing, I unlocked a new fear last night. We're having dinner, and Phoebe's home from KU, and we're talking about PE and stuff like that, and I said, no, you guys aren't old enough to remember when we used to play with the parachute. Did you guys ever play with the parachute?
Yes. Oh, yes, we did.
And they did on Barney as well.
Best days in the world.
And Phoebe's like, oh, no, we had the parachute. We used to play Sharks and Lifeguards. You know this one?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you spread out the parachute, uh-huh. and all the kids cover up with the parachute up to their belts.
Okay.
And then a bunch of kids are under the parachute. They're the sharks. Uh-huh. And they grab you by the legs and pull you under. And then you have two or three lifeguards who, when they see someone being pulled under by the sharks, they grab their arms and pull them back out.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
We played that.
Awful.
We didn't call it Sharks and Lifeguards, but we had that exact same game. It's fun. Like everybody
the fun
lays.
Of it, but I also see the horror.
Like everybody lays kind of around the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get pulled under and it's scary.
And what? You get pulled under and what?
Then you're a shark.
Then you become a shark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you
like,
become.
I guess that was a little ominous.
Then they eat you.
And then you're sacrificed. No, it's. I don't know. It gets claustrophobic under those parachutes.
Yeah.
Like if you end up in the middle and you get disoriented.
Do you remember the Earth Ball? The, like, 8-foot diameter ball, big white one that weighed about 48 pounds?
No.
We had medicine balls. I don't know if we had an Earth ball.
Oh, no. You'd remember the Earth ball. It's giant. And if it hit you, like, in the head, it would snap your neck. I mean, isn't PE weird? It's just
PE
to get kids to move and, you know.
I always liked it when they were just like, go have your free time during PE. Those were the best days.
We never had that.
You could just go play like whatever sport you wanted in the gym.
Oh, no.
I would usually just talk, you know. Be like, oh, we'll sit on the risers? You remember those?
Yeah.
If you had like a choir concert or something?
Phoebe was talking about when she was in grade school, she saw her friend get hit in the face with a dodgeball and it broke her glasses. And so she was terrified and she didn't want to play. And so Maureen was fighting the fight, trying to get her out of it. And the PE teacher told her, take her in the backyard and just pummel her with dodgeballs until she's used to it.
Immersion therapy.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, is it that important for a child to go through the dodgeball experience that then their parent is encouraged to hit them at home with dodgeballs?
If you're getting homework as Dave, and the homework that you're getting is hit your daughter in the face with little rubber dodgeballs, I feel like you could just be like, okay, she gets it out.
Remember when Phoebe was in the home run derby for wiffle ball?
Yes.
You remember that?
I do.
That was really fun. That was really, really cool.
Was that a school thing?
Yeah, it was a school thing where it was hitting it off a tee. And she was good, but she didn't expect, but she beat all the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up being the representative from ICD.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was really fun. Dan Buck was the host, and it was really cool. So you're missing Wheeler?
I am. I miss Wheels. you know, you think a week isn't that long, and then you do a week without some. I mean, it was the same thing when Andrew was out. We obviously missed him quite a bit. You're the producer of the show, so you're doing all these things every day. But Wheels, I'm just like, every time I pulled a sports story for headlines, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to ask. Oh, wait, never mind.
No, I had like two, same thing. I had like two kind of like perfect for Wheeler sports questions that kind of popped up in my head. And we can use them next week. They're pretty evergreen, but I'm like, I can't wait to hit him with this. Oh,
he's not here.
It's been so quiet in the office.
So quiet. Oh,
it's,
I bet.
Eerie in the office. Like, it's just, it's absolute
silence.
Who have
you been blowing up?
Nobody. I've just been sitting quietly. And like, you know, I mean, I would usually prefer to, you know, when I'm in there and I'm right in the middle of doing something, I'm not usually talking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just mostly silent. I'm just back there doing whatever and yeah, being completely quiet.
Hey,
Kevin's the one who
talks. I have some fast food news if you want to follow it up with your own.
Oh, I don't have the papers in here.
Rachel.
I know. I meant to ask Andrew to grab them for me on the break. I don't know where I put them.
Way to go, Andrew. Way
it's
to let her down.
It's not his fault.
Would you like me to go grab them now?
No.
Wendy's and McDonald's are, obviously, the whole fast food world is upside down and you're charging too much money and XYZ. But this is like the business of fast food. So McDonald's and Wendy's corporate have said to the owners, the franchisees, you're going to do $3 breakfasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're losing money. And so the people that own the McDonald's and the Wendy's are like, yeah, no, how about if you guys eat the expense on this? And they're like, no, we set the prices. You monkeys just go out there and do what you're going to do. And it's turned into a big deal.
Boy, that's really interesting. I've never thought about it in those terms. Like whenever they change prices around or whatever, I've never thought about how it affects
you gotta live with it.
Franchisees versus the, because you don't really think about franchisees. You just think about,
I'm guessing, I don't
Mr.
know
Mr. McDonald's as a whole.
But I'm guessing franchisees, the way that they make their money is they sell everything to the franchisees, basically like a wholesaler. So you're paying the same for a Big Mac patty no matter what.
Yeah.
And then they're telling you what to charge.
So if you're paying $3 for everything included in the $3 breakfast and then you're reselling it, you're not making any money.
That's right.
Interesting.
I can do more fast food news if like. I was able to pull it up on the computer.
Look at you.
You gotta love technology. Hershey's is being sued over deceptive Reese's packaging. They're being accused of falsely representing several Reese's peanut butter products as containing explicit carved out artistic designs when there are no such carvings in the actual products and the products are blank.
No, I'm with it. Like the Reese's like pumpkins, right? The packaging always shows them with like a cute jack-o'-lantern face and all this detail. And then you open it up and it's just a lump. It's just a chocolate lump with peanut butter inside, which, you know, don't get me wrong. It's all going to the same place. I'm eating it either way. But it is a little Reese's more than a lot of candies. It's a little more disappointing once you really get into that packaging and you're like,
I don't feel sorry for people.
Just a lump.
I feel sorry for people who are bothered by it, because I think, like, you need more of a life. Like, if you're really upset that the pumpkin, the jack-o'-lantern doesn't have a jack-o'-lantern mouth, like, now it would be cooler to see the peanut butter poking through.
I have a question real quick.
Uh-huh.
So you mentioned the franchisees with McDonald's and Wendy's and stuff. So I got one of those $3 breakfasts this morning. I enjoyed it. It was very delicious. Is that... how do I put it? Is it wrong to get the $3 breakfast?
No.
If it's hurting the franchisees?
Well, do you even know if the Wendy's you went to was a franchise?
No. I don't know how I would know that.
Yeah, you're not doing anything wrong.
Okay.
You used to worry about hurting Wendy's.
Well, that was whenever there was like a meat shortage and Wendy's was worried about not being able to serve their burgers. And I was like, I'm not going to go add more stress to their shoulders.
You guys.
And that's the thing. Well, the thing is, when you go as much as like I do, You want it to be a give and take relationship because you want to be.
I'm not sure they're viewing you the way you're viewing them. This may be unrequited love.
I'm viewing them as a provider.
It was definitely that for
me. A family figure.
That was in my period of time where I was getting the son of Baconator and a strawberry lemonade, like. At least once a week, and it was like the high point of my week. Things weren't going so great for old Rach, and Wendy's was kind of keeping me afloat. So when they were worried about not being able to serve burgers, I'm like, I don't want to stress out my friends in
was
the
that
drive-thru.
COVID?
When
they were having the shortage?
I think it was right before COVID. Because I remember We did this, like, it was so fun on the show because I was telling Andrew, like, don't get the Baconator, get the Son of Baconator. It's a more manageable amount of food. And we, like, had both ended up getting the Baconator, and we both came into work, like, sick from the Baconator. Oh, yeah. And we did this, like, hour-long
thing. Oh, yeah, I remember
thing.
That.
It was really fun. And that was, like, 2 or 3 days before COVID lockdown really hit.
Who? Someone ate 2 Baconators, or Tony said
Tony.
He could?
Tony said he could, and it wouldn't be a problem for him. And I think he did finish both of them, but he was definitely feeling it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of food.
What else you got?
Let's see. Now, nearly 80% of Americans now consider fast food a luxury due to high prices.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
A recent survey conducted by LendingTree found that 78% of consumers now consider fast food to be a luxury. Half of those polled said they view fast food as a luxury because they are struggling financially themselves. And 63% of those surveyed agreed fast food should be cheaper than eating at home. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think that eating out should ever necessarily be cheaper than making something at your house.
It's such a mystery. Two, I think it just really depends. For example, if the cheapest way for me to eat is to eat something I have in my home, right?
You already own it.
I already own it. But if I say I'm going to have a hamburger and fries, it's cheaper to go to McDonald's, or at least it used to be, than to go to Schnucks and buy hamburger, buns, ketchup, mustard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
can see that.
Doy.
All right, so Burger King has put together a new $6 birthday meal. They're celebrating 70 years of BK. The birthday meals include a Whopper Jr., small fries, a small drink, and a birthday pie slice.
You know what Burger King reminds me of? Burger King reminds me of that friend we all have who's super cool and really funny, but he drinks too much or he smokes too much pot. And he's just, you know, maybe he still lives with his mom and dad. That's kind of Burger King.
I'm going to say this. BK is back. BK is all the way back. BK has never been
back. I've never doubted their food.
Their food was, well, there was time to doubt it. There was a time when I want to say it was maybe the early 10s to you know, mid. I mean, it was a long stretch of time where it wasn't really that good anymore. They hadn't updated the food, I guess, in a long time. But the last few years, all the way back.
Are you going to include the Hardee's?
Well, yes. Okay. I was kind of saving the best for last there. Chick-fil-A is going to launch a new maple pepper bacon sandwich.
No, thanks.
You don't think that sounds good? I think it looks amazing. Mm.
I'll try it.
It'll mess with my bacon.
Any kind of maple.
See, I'm the opposite.
Bacon combination. Really?
Yeah. If it's natural, like, I'll dip anything in maple syrup, but I don't want fake maple.
Mm.
Faple.
All right, one more story, and then we'll talk about Hardee's.
Okay.
Smoothie King is pouring new SK Refreshers. They are ice-cold, lightly caffeinated, fresh fruit beverages. I love refreshers like this. I think they look delicious. I'm devastated is probably too strong of a word, but I'm extremely disappointed that the Smoothie King in this building closed.
Boy, they went out in the middle of the night.
They
did.
Hard.
Yeah, it was like Monday they were here. Tuesday, it was completely empty.
Remember when we were at Emmis at Union Station and everything went in the crapper, and Casey Masterpiece tried to sneak out in the middle of the night, and they like booted their vehicles and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That was quite a time.
That was fun.
And like I said, the best for last. I am so excited about this. Hardee's is launching new blueberry biscuits. They look so good. The picture, I mean, Dave can attest to the fact that I was like, oh my gosh,
that
looks
about.
So good. So it's a warm, fluffy biscuit infused with blueberry flavor and topped with a sweet drizzle of icing. It's available now through September 2nd, exclusively during breakfast hours. They're also doing handcrafted lemonades. You know, I love myself a handcrafted lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
And they're also doing some new chicken tender platters featuring 3 premium all white meat chicken strips, hand dipped in buttermilk, lightly breaded and fried to a golden brown. Each platter comes with a side of coleslaw, fries, and garlic toast. Yum, yum, yum.
I have a question.
So they're doing like a Cane's
like a Raising Cane's
thing.
Type of situation.
Interesting.
Caffeinate something? Like, I know you love the killer lemonade. Can you just buy caffeine in like a powder form or something?
Oh, that's a great question.
You can buy caffeine pills.
Yeah, you can buy caffeine pills, and you can, I think, buy
shouldn't
a, like
have said
a caffeine,
that out loud. People will start doing it. But
caffeine powder.
We can make our own lemonade. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
224 Hour DGS. It's what I call a Super Friday, since you have a three-day weekend for most people. So we're just not going to do a whole lot serious. We're just going to jack around with you guys. Everyone bailed on us. Sue had to do something, and Michael Kelly had to do something Michael Kelly-ish. So it's just going to be us. Talk to Chet Pleben at the top of the hour to get us ready. Can you believe we're going to have a verdict in the Trump case probably by Wednesday?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe Thursday, but it'll be middle of next week. Wow. The legend Tony Scott's going to come in and play Half Wits with us at 4 p.m. I'm going to do something this summer I've never done before. I can't believe I'm a grown-ass man turning 16 in September, and I've never, well, I have technically done it, camped out when Nick and I went to the Grand Canyon, but I've never gone to a campsite with a pop-up tent, built a fire, and spent the night and woke up and made coffee. I want to do that so bad, but I don't know how to do it. And so I've been like looking at it and researching it, and there are all these like, oh, this campground and that campground. What I wish I had was a hookup where someone just had some land with a pond, and I could, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with other people, but I don't really want to do the thing where I'm in space number 53 and you're in space number 54 and space number, you know,
mm-hmm.
Don't want them cramping my style.
Right.
I like to be naked.
That sounds very cozy, though.
It does. It's probably not.
It is. I mean, I went camping last October, I guess, just for one night. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to suck because I wasn't going to have electricity. And then, like, it rained that night. So I remember, like, getting in the tent and being like, I can't get up and go to the bathroom if I have to go to the bathroom because it's pouring rain. But it was all honestly a pretty cozy feeling. It was nice. That was my lame story.
If I get wiggy, it's because my therapist is with his wife on a 6-week, they're like 75 years old.
Wow.
Good shape, obviously, but they're going to Oregon, and it's sort of like the Appalachian Trail. They're doing 6 weeks on this Oregon Trail where it's like legit backpacking and then just pitching tents and sleeping.
Fun.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's really cool.
They're going to get dysentery.
Did you ever play the Oregon Trail, Dave?
No. What's that?
It was in the 90s, right? The 80s and the 90s.
Yeah,
the
I would say primarily
what
80s,
do you do?
90s. You travel, so what you do is
sounds like my alley.
Yeah, no, you'd love it actually. I'm surprised that you've never heard of it, and that's where the dysentery joke comes from. Because
I'm so not a game guy.
So you have a group of people. It's just sort of a point and click. You know, it asks you questions, and you tell them what you wanted to do. It'll say like. So you come across a river, and you have your two oxen, you've got your wagon that's full of all your supplies, and your family of six or whatever. Will you try to, you know, ford the river? Will you try and float the river and take the
are
wheels off your wagon?
Are there modern versions that look good?
There are more modern versions. Yeah, they've continued to kind of iterate on
are
the process.
Are there Bigfoot games?
Yes, there are, actually. There's one Bigfoot game I'm thinking of in particular where it's... a 1v4, they call it an asymmetric multiplayer game. So, like, let's say Rachel and I would play, like, hunters running around, and you would be Bigfoot in the game, and you have crazy Bigfoot superpowers where you can, like, you know, run really fast, and you're super strong, and it's easier.
I've missed out on a lot.
Yeah. Your job would be to, like, kill the hunters before they could
easy.
Get
it's
you.
Easy.
It is, actually. It is. Bigfoot's got the advantage in that game.
Duh. No. 235 DGS. I found an aesthetic on TikTok I love, but there's a problem. It's called Bookish Life, and it's just what it sounds like. It's like all these videos of people with these beautiful, warm, cozy library rooms and hot tea and lemon and all this. And I know it looks so great, except I don't like to read, so that's getting in my way.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Do you have things like that? I really want to read. I have people in my life who read voraciously, and it just looks so good and it sounds so good. And don't get me wrong, I buy a lot of books. Mm-hmm. I just don't read them.
Yeah, same. Same. I just bought a book recently that I have barely cracked to read, and it's even like on my phone. I can read it pretty much anywhere.
In the car,
driving on the highway,
sure.
Interstate.
Did you get your headlights replaced?
I did.
Nice.
I did get them replaced.
Nice.
But again, I didn't need them. You know, it's never darker than this.
Did you get them replaced?
Well, my dad bought them, but I changed them.
Okay.
And it was very nice of him because he knew that there was a problem.
Yeah.
And he went out and
that's what dads are for.
Because he suspected that I would
keep their kids from dying.
As I said the other day on the air, I was gonna sit on it.
Yeah.
I was gonna sit on it for a bit. I was gonna see what happened.
Wanna do some audio?
Yeah, let's start with my piece of audio. Okay, I saw this on Twitter. To be honest, I don't know what he's talking about. I just think that it's funny. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump.
How do you get up in the morning and put your pants on? Where do you put the pants on? I'll explain it to you someday. How do you do it? How do you get up? How do you do it? How can you want to do with what you do? They're after you. They're after you. These horrible human beings are after you all the time.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I think he's saying. Like, how am I supposed to carry on whenever I'm under all this pressure? How do I put my pants on in the morning?
I heard a longer clip, but the more context you have, the less funny it is to hear. But the longer clip, he's talking about how very, very tough businessmen, of course, businessmen are famed for being the toughest type of people. Very, very tough businessman will approach Donald Trump and they'll say things like, how do you do it? How do you put your pants on? How do you do it?
There's no...
when everyone's after you.
Donald Trump could change his mind at any point. But Drudge was reporting today, one of those in all capital red letters, that DeSantis is the VP pick. Now, that would be something.
I would see that more than Haley.
Yeah, it's not going to be. There's no way it's
less pissed at DeSantis than he is Haley.
And DeSantis dropped out sooner. I mean, I feel like the sooner you drop out.
He did say that Haley was going to have a part on the team, though. I'm pleasantly, not pleasantly, I am surprisingly impressed that he was able to be less petty.
Oh, so this is actually voters' choice, top choice for Trump's VP Ron DeSantis. Nikki Haley, so he was came in first at 15%. Nikki Haley came in second at 8%. The person who came in third at 7% is Ramaswamy.
That's
very interesting.
Okay. I really might move if Ramaswamy was a heartbeat away from being president. Anytime people say that, I'm like, whatever, you're not moving. I really might just go to Belize if Ramaswamy was the president.
It's extra frustrating because he's such a transparent grifter, and it's so disappointing if that were to work, right? If it were, I mean, it worked on 8% of the people that were polled in this poll. But it's just like if he can so like transparently and so nakedly just like grift his way into the vice presidency and it's successful, it's like, it's disappointing to me.
Actually, the number one response was not sure. 27% of all respondents said they're not sure who they want to be.
Fair enough.
The VP pick. All right, let's move on. Andrew, what you have a lot of audio. What would you like to play?
I do. Let's start with the Wheel of Fortune one.
I've not heard of this. No.
So do we say adult? It's not really adult warning. I mean, it was on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I think if it's on Wheel of Fortune, we can play it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tavares, right in the butt.
What?
No.
Oh, Pat sounds so disappointed.
Blake.
This is the best.
Yeah, that's it.
The letters didn't even match up with the, because it was four blank squares, and then like blank, blank, the, and then blank, 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 exclamation point.
So. I love how disappointed Pat Sajak, he just goes, no.
No.
It's not that, you little freak.
That's pretty great.
And the lady who ends up stealing it from him and winning it goes, what?
It's pretty good.
He just sounds so happy, like he thought he nailed it.
Right in the back.
He was like, this is perfect.
That's pretty great.
And everyone's like,
I think Sajak's last show is like June 7th.
What?
Ooh, it's coming up
quick. That's right. Is it Ryan Seacrest?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
He's the replacement.
I know.
You know who's, when Alex Trebek died, it's like, who's going to take his place? I've been watching a lot of Jeopardy lately. Like, I watch it every day whenever I get home. Ken Jennings does a really incredible
job.
He's
spectacular.
He's really, really good.
He's no one could take the place of Alex, but... I can't imagine anybody but Ken Jennings being the like permanent from here on replacement. He's so good. He understands the game. He understands his little quips,
but it's not too much.
I don't mind the quips. I mean, Trebek had his quips too, and sometimes you wonder if they forgave the quips as much as they did because he was Trebek.
Okay, how do you feel about contestant quips whenever they're like, oh, I knew I was going to get that one? Because every time, every time it happens, I go, don't do that. Like, I don't, you're slowing down the game for your own selfish
We're not
little...
here for your personality.
Exactly.
Yeah, what's his, Holzhauer? That dingus. James Holzhauer, he does that all the time. I just watched the, like, tournament, the Masters tournament or whatever, and he was terrible with that. Like, every time he's like, mm-hmm, of course I got that one right, or whatever. And it's like, shut up.
Get out of here. You're already smarter than me, and, like, quit rubbing it in my face. All right, what's the Red Lobster audio?
Okay, so I want to talk about this for a little bit. So, Red Lobster is dying. Have you guys seen this?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Red Lobster is probably not going to be around
all
that much longer.
Did you hear Hancock and Kelly talk about this?
No, I didn't.
I absolutely adore John Hancock, but he has missed several memos.
Okay.
And he was, they're talking about it, and they're like Abbott and Costello. Like, Michael Kelly's the greatest straight man, and he's just like, yeah, you know, Michael Kelly, did you hear about Red Lobster? And John's like, well, yeah, you know, you got the fatties, and the fatties, they combine, you know, with the competition, and you put a fat in a competition, and they're going to eat all your shrimps up. So I'm just like, I don't think you can say that.
I don't think you can, and I also feel a little offended as a Red Lobster enthusiast.
As a Red Lobster fatty?
That's where this audio comes into play. So the media has been primarily reporting that the reason that Red Lobster shut down was that they, as John Hancock so eloquently stated, they offered just simply too many shrimps. And all of the quote-unquote fatties came in.
I think you could have seen that coming.
And gobbled them up. Well,
it's not true.
It's not exactly true. Oh. So this guy, I thought, pretty eloquently explains, much better than I can because I barely know how to talk, a little better of what's going on with Red Lobster.
I'd be willing to bet you think Red Lobster went into bankruptcy because of endless shrimp. Because that's what the media's told you. They've been telling you repeatedly that the reason Red Lobster went into bankruptcy was that they had the endless shrimp combo and the greedy American people just took advantage of it. That's not what happened. No, what happened was a hedge fund bought Red Lobster, and as a condition of the sale, they made them split up their land and their restaurants. And then once they made them split that up, the hedge funds made the leases on that land so expensive that the Red Lobsters couldn't possibly continue to operate. So Red Lobster had to keep trying new and new things to try to make enough money to pay these leases. So now they're going into bankruptcy. But the media is not talking about that. No, the media is saying that American greed and the American people were the problem. That Red Lobster made terrible marketing decisions and the American people took advantage of it. But make no mistake, the only reason Red Lobster is going into bankruptcy is because a hedge fund wanted them to go into bankruptcy. They wanted to put Red Lobster out of business so they could take the land that the Red Lobsters were on. Because Red Lobster has some amazing locations across the United States. And now the hedge fund is going to be able to sell off all the little pieces of Red Lobster, completely shutting them down, and just have the land all to themselves.
Okay, two questions. One, why are there edits every 3 seconds?
You
just did it yourself.
I know. Well, it's interesting. I don't know. I didn't notice that when I was getting the audio, but that was driving me nuts, too. It's like this guy paused every 2 seconds.
Can you not say
I bet you're wondering.
Sentence?
What's yeah.
up? Secondly, have hedge lobster. Funds done anything good?
That's
they
a good
must
question.
Have, right? Like, but I only know, I will say, I only know them for doing things like, you know, buying up websites that
Seems
I love,
like they
Sports
only
Illustrated.
Do things
and
in their own
everybody.
Interest, and I mean, I guess they had to have at some point.
Well, that's the interesting thing about them. They're an entity that exists solely to make money. They don't really make a product. They don't produce a service. The service that they provide is that if you give them some of your money, they will return to you more money than you gave
them. There's a perfect example. It's sort of like 1980s arbitrage kind of stuff where they saw an opportunity and we can make some money, but we're going to have to get rid of Red Lobster and they're just not going to exist anymore, but we can take their real estate, so let's do it.
And it's like I put on the sheet. I consider them to be capitalism distilled to its purest form.
So it's not the fatties.
The only service they perform is that they can do anything possible to turn some money into a little more money.
251 DGS, couple of sequels coming out. Beetlejuice is going to hit on my birthday. Hey, how about
cool.
that? They are banking on Jenna Ortega to save it.
Yeah.
Because they just don't think enough people are going to really care. It's been too long. Mm-hmm. Young kids don't know about it. They don't care about it. Old people don't go to the movies. But you put Jenna Ortega in anything, and people seem to go to see it.
Then why make it if they're so worried about, like, oh, yeah, no one even cares anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, like, make a new movie with Jenna Ortega in it.
You don't have to make that. You know what I mean?
I've never seen the original Beetlejuice.
It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, Tim Burton.
Is it funny? Yeah. Is it supposed to be funny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I always thought it was scary.
It's a little scary, but I would say it's comedy forward.
To me, like, it's just Tim Burton.
Yeah.
If anyone else had made it, it could be really funny. Mm-hmm. It could be really scary. I'm not the biggest Tim Burton fan.
Me neither.
But, and the reason is that when he does something, it has his stink all over it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you just can't get away from it.
A lot of eyeliner.
For people who love Tim Burton, that's why they go see Tim Burton movies.
Yeah.
But for me, it always gets in the way. Like,
same.
I just can't not see the Tim Burton-ness of it. And then Eddie Murphy is back with Beverly Hills Cop Axel F.
Okay. I like Beverly Hills Cop.
I mean, it was a classic.
Do we need another one?
No,
30
that's
years
my
later?
That's my worry, because it's going to be that whole, like, hey, Judge Reinhold's back. Oh, it's the guy from The Place.
I wonder what the last good movie Eddie Murphy was in was.
Great question.
Maybe like Shrek.
I don't know. I think he's made some good movies that were not hits.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he was in some movies that got critical good reception, but they just weren't big deals.
I watched Norbit the other day. That was a...
Why?
That was a movie.
Yeah, I didn't see that. You have a weird life.
I do
what
have
you,
a weird life.
What are you doing with
it's
yourself?
It's because I will be sitting
Jeopardy
there.
Jeopardy and Norbit.
Well, you put
on the sheet
awesome.
Like, you put on the sheet like, I avoid watching movies. And it's like, yeah, because you're watching Norbit.
Because we'll be sitting there scrolling through things to watch on the television. And I'll be like, oh, I've never seen that. And my boyfriend just puts it on. Like, whatever movie it is, no matter
this
how irrelevant
it is.
This is
where you put your foot down.
I do. There have been several times where I'm like, I'm not watching that. But like,
you
Norbit,
done
I kind of wanted
more
to
time.
Watch. Well, like, and then an actual...
I could see wanting to watch Norbit.
Watch Bowfinger. Yeah. That's way better than Norbit.
Watch Coming to America.
The reason why I put the fact that I was avoiding watching movies on the sheet is because an actual good movie will come out. Like, Dune 2 is on HBO right now. And I saw that the other night, and I'm like, oh!
I think I know the answer to this, and I don't want to hear the answer to this. I don't want to go back and watch the first Dune movie, but I probably have to, right? To watch Dune 2.
Yes.
I keep hearing how amazing Dune 2 is. Can I not just watch like a 10-minute tell me what's going on
here? You'll want it, but the first Dune is really good. That's the thing. Like, I've seen the first Dune
movies.
Like 10
they're
times.
Long. Oh, they're long, but they're great. I mean, do you like Lord of the Rings?
It's fine.
They're shorter than, they're shorter than the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, so, and you get to learn about their world.
I don't know what I'm getting at, really.
I mean, it's a good movie. It wouldn't be a waste of time.
Okay. Here's the thing. If you're interested in watching...
The next time I have 16 hours, I'll do it.
If you're interested in watching Dune 2, you should watch Dune 1 100%. Because they're just as good as each other.
Have you seen the original?
I have not, actually.
It's very Tim Burton.
The David Lynch, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. I didn't know it was David Lynch.
It is. David Lynch.
That explains a lot. Because it was weird, and it made me feel weird about myself.